Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Dirty Playologist. It took some doing, but we drugged Keisha and Barb into the studio to record. They're going to be digging deep and getting to the roots of play. Things like knowledge, skills, understanding, and power. Here are your hosts, Keisha and Barb.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to another episode of Dirty Playologist. It's your host with her lovely co-host. It's Keisha and my lovely co-host,
Barbara Sheridan. So today we are talking about what makes our spaces playable. So our places and our stuff, our big stuff, our little stuff, and no stuff. So what kind of places and stuff do you have, Keisha?
Playable to me was a big thing. Like when I was looking for space for my program, I guess over the years of working at all different types of programs, I was collecting little bits of golden nuggets of like things that I would want to have in my program. And one of the things that I definitely knew I wanted was a building that felt open and cozy at the same time, because I wanted children to walk in or families to walk in and feel a sense of coziness, but also that there was space to move big and be loud and move fast. So
when you say like open and cozy, like the
I know
I like those words, but what does that translate to when you walk into a building? What makes a building open? What makes it cozy?
Okay, for me, when I was looking, I did not want walls, partitions. I didn't want, like, both of the schools were in big enough buildings that I could have split it into two classrooms or maybe even three. But that openness and that space was more important to me than having additional classrooms. So that's what I mean by open, like just space. Like a child can run from one end of the room to the other end of the room and not be blocked by anything, any material. So space is where long stretches of movement can happen. And by cozy, what I mean is the way that I feel like we get the cozy feeling is by adding home-like furnishings. So our tables are large wooden dining tables that are cut down. Our preschool furniture is furniture that you would find in homes and not necessarily in catalogs. Our classroom has lots of rugs, rich colored rugs, lots of texture. I look for different textures, different colors, different patterns, and I feel like that just warms up the space. I am not into like hard, harsh rainbow colors, but I am a colorful person. So I do have color in my room, and I tried to choose colors that made you feel like, I guess the word that came to me was like fresh or like a breath of fresh air type of color. So I think all of that contributes to a cozy feeling.
Just one question about the colors that occurred to me when you're talking about creating this feeling with the colors, compared to when you were more like curriculum led, teacher directed, to now, what would the difference with the colors be? And is it more cozy now, or is it less cozy? Or
if you were to I don't even know if it's on my Facebook page anymore. I was gonna say, if you were to stalk my Facebook page for some very old pictures of my classroom that I was so proud of, it's like rainbow vomit. It is It was overwhelming. No, I would not consider it cozy. I didn't even think it was cozy then, but I also wasn't going for cozy then. I was going for classroom, you know, traditional classroom. No, it wasn't. I would probably say cluttered and stark would be the two words. And the only reason why I say stark is because it was the furnishings in the room were very catalog, which is fine. Mm-hmm. If you combine it with more like couches and rugs and things that are more home-like, then I think you can still get a cozy feeling with tables and chairs from a catalog. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when everything in your room looks like it came right off the front page of the catalog, it has more of a school feeling and less of that home feeling that I think is important for young children.
So your before picture wasn't playable at all, and it didn't feel playable.
It wasn't playable, and one of the main reasons is because it was very choppy. It was cut off. It was designed to keep children from moving too fast, to keep children in separate compartments. It did not lend itself to much freedom. And it was done that way on purpose. Now, mind you, this was many moons ago, and it's just how it was always done. So when I was promoted to lead teacher and I was in the classroom, it was how it was before I got there. But when I did redecorate the room, I still went with those same guidelines. Okay, I have to have this center here, and I have to have this shelf in front of it because, God forbid, one block leave this line. Or, I mean, there were times when we even used, like, tape to mark off spaces where you can't leave out of this space with dress-up clothes on. I mean, you can use your environment and your space to control children, or you can use your environment or your space to empower children. And I think a playable classroom is an empowering classroom.
So the non-playable classroom for you was very stark, very ordered. There wasn't a lot of bit of flexibility or movement or room for play. And now you've moved away from that.
Yes, and it's like night and day. And it was a progression. When I first opened my home program, I was getting there. So you can see my color palette was softer. You could see a lot more natural materials in nature. You can see just that transition. So it was definitely a transition over time for me. But I feel like the more I paid attention to the play and the children and needs, the better I was able to accommodate a classroom that fit that and that really encouraged authentic play. So I think I needed to be in a place where I understood authentic play before I could design a facility that supported it.
So just out of curiosity, with your movement to go from the other classroom, which was lending itself more to getting goals met, mm-hmm. and curriculum met versus the playability, you say that it was a progress and that you had to understand play. So within that, how much of it played a part of you kind of looking at it going, oh, no, this would be better? And how much of it was you were using the same designs or the older designs and realized it wasn't working? Like, oh, I want to allow free movement. Oh, wait a minute, but that's all in the way. Mm-hmm. How much from each side did it come from?
I think between the working, I think a lot of it came from my last job I worked at. It taught me a lot of what not to do. So, mm-hmm. So I think seeing that not work kind of helped me decide, okay, well, I don't want to be in a facility where, you know, only three children can go in this area, or where you're making a certain area really, really small because you only want to accommodate for two. So I guess a lot of it came from what not to do. But after that was like the initial. So when I moved to the house, I designed that program kind of mainly based on what not to do, but I think that opened up the door for me to see some play. And then I looked at that play, and that is what guided me for what to do. Okay, now what do I wish I had more of? Because I was in a smaller setting. And I think this can be done in all types of settings. because I feel like I accomplished it at the house. But I was in a smaller setting. So when I decided to move out, I had to sit down and think about, what do I wish I had more of? What do I wish I could do that I can't do here? What do I wish that, or what do the children's play, what does the children's play show me that they need? And I kind of went from that point. And I think first and foremost, in any space, if you want to have authentic play happening, there needs to be relationship, connection. The children need to feel safe. They need to feel trusted. They need to feel heard. And they need to know that they are powerful. So what I feel like without those prerequisites, you're not going to have a playable space. Because you're not going to have children who are authentically from their heart playing. So that's step one.
So when you transferred over and were doing that, was there anything that you kind of didn't realize wasn't lending itself to playability? So you set that up in the classroom, and then as you were allowing play, you all of a sudden realized, like you said, you know, that free movement of space, so not a lot of furniture in the way. Like, were you putting furniture out and then realizing, oh, it's harder for them to move, so you moved it aside? Is there anything that you kind of learned on the spot that you hadn't realized when you were trying to transfer over?
After 20 years or 20-something years of working in different programs, I kind of compiled a good understanding of what, in my idea, doesn't work. So for the most part, the room setup itself was allowed for playability, but it definitely developed along the way. We definitely added things. We definitely took things away. But the main thing that I think changed was more of our mindset. As we continue to grow and understand play and understand children more and more, the more we kind of let go of that control and ownership. And I mean ownership in a negative way, like that ownership that you have, like when you get a new toy or material and you're like so connected to it that you almost don't want the children to touch it.
Yeah.
That's the type of ownership that I'm talking about that we let go of. So, and in doing that, the children felt that they were permitted to play. They were allowed to touch. They were allowed to get messy. They were allowed to be messy in the space. So, yeah, it was definitely evolution. But other things that I'm looking for playability was, or other things that we do in our design or in our daily work to promote playability is, and this is a big one, we allow messes. We allow the children to explore and play. Now, unless something is getting broken or unless someone's getting hurt, there's very little that we don't allow. And this obviously must have developed. We must have gone further towards the messiness, because I had an alumni sleepover and one of my children who graduated a couple years ago was there. And was it at the sleepover? No, it was not. She came at the end of the day with her dad to visit. So kids were still there.
Oh.
Yeah, there were children still there. And they had mulch and dirt and sand from outside in the kitchen, mixing it up in pots. And she was like, oh, because, you know, when kids go to school, they learn that. Oh, my God, you're going to get in trouble. And she was going, you're going to get in trouble, and telling her about how she's going to get in trouble because you can't bring that stuff in. And then she turned around and looked at me, and she was like, oh, she bought this dirt, and there's mulch, and there's sand. And I was like, it's okay. And she just looked at me with bug eyes. And part of me feels like, they definitely did that when she was there. So I'm wondering if she's been, like, deprogrammed from going to school, or if we've really gone that far in towards the playability side of things. But, yeah.
Well, it might be a combination of both, mm-hmm. right? Because if you weren't kind of as far along as you were on your journey, you may have allowed that type of play, but maybe had that subtle undertone of disapproval as you were like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. And also probably more limitations and more, I don't want to say the word, but rules around that type of play. But honestly, the other day I walked into the bathroom. I'm like, is someone leaving the water running? I walk in the bathroom, and two kids are in the sink, and they've got bubbles all the way up to their top of their arms and just going for it. And I just looked, and to me, it was like childhood. It was like awesome. One of the kids comes running out with like his hands covered in bubbles. He's like, bubbles, bubbles, and shaking his arms around, and bubbles are going everywhere. And you need a space where you feel okay with that. If you if you want to allow this authentic play to happen, authentic play means we can't be stopping it every 5 seconds because it's something that might dirty the rug. We can't be stopping it every 5 seconds because you don't want to clean it up later. So I purposely have floors that are concrete. I painted the floor. You can't really hurt it. We write on it with chalk. We paint on. I mean, like, it's not something that's that important to me. And I did that on purpose because I want to not worry about that. I've been in the position to worry about, don't scratch the wooden floors, or, you know, because when I was in the house, it wasn't my house. It was someone else's house. So I did have to worry about those things. Like, okay, well, I want to bring sand in, but I might get it, you know, I might get it in this and I might get it in that. Now, how can I? And there are ways to modify things so that you can still get messy, but not tear up your house. So if you're in a home program, which I have been in a home program many years ago when my son was young, in my own house. And unfortunately, back then, I wasn't as open as I am now. But I'd like to think that there are ways to be able to allow this type of messy free play. Because if you are choosing, if you're making that decision with your family that you're going to have a preschool in your home, and you want this preschool to be play-based, and you want this preschool to house children who are authentically playing, then that means we need to make some alterations to the space that they're going to be in. We need to not have furniture that we care about in that room. We need to not have rugs that we're going to worry are getting destroyed. So that's why, that's not the only reason why, but that's a lot of the reason why most of my stuff comes from Goodwill, or it's donated. Because if it breaks, or if it gets paint on it, or if it, you know, gets ripped, it's not much skin off my back, you know?
Yeah. So one question I have for you is, because you were talking about the feel of the space and how you want it to feel to the students. And when you're talking playability, I think the feel of the teacher is also important, and how the teacher feels in general. So I wanted to ask what the difference is in the way that you feel as like a teacher facilitator before, when everything was, you know, the rules and the restrictions, versus now when everything's the open and free for them to play. What is the difference in feeling that you have as a teacher?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crazy how different my lens is and my mindset is. And I'm still on a journey, and I honestly feel like it's something that we're working towards every day to become even more and more progressive, to allow natural play to occur every single day, and be mindful of what we may be doing to prevent that, or what our roadblocks are. But the difference is, I no longer see, it's not that I didn't value children before, it's that I no longer see my role as that of the leader, or the knowledge supplier, or the doer of all things. So I think it was more, not necessarily definitely my view of the child changed, or the children changed, but I think more so what had the most effect on the change is my view of myself and what my role was in this space while the children were playing.
And so before, were you like a relaxed teacher because you were happy because they were following the rules?
My personality is kind of upbeat and kind of silly. So I always had the fun classroom. I always had, and I am a messy person anyway. So I always had a classroom that was, if you're in a school, a typical preschool setting, and there's five classes. Mine is usually the loudest one, the most messy one, the one where you might hear children laughing, So I've always been that way. Like, my personality is my personality, but I played the role of the teacher. I led the circle time, and we were going to do the bears and get them dressed, and we were going to do the colors, and we were going to do the numbers. And it was almost like a robot, because there were lots of times when I knew the children weren't really grasping the information, because we would do it every single day, and it was almost like it was the first time we were doing it. So yeah. I was very focused on the curriculum. And you know what? It was about me more than it was about them. It was about my good ideas for the curriculum. It was about my good project ideas. It was about how I could, like, fit so many different domains in this theme or that theme. So the biggest shift is that it's no longer about me. It's about the children. So
that helped. That's the same with the environment as with the teachers. Before, it was about the curriculum. The environment was about the curriculum. You were about the curriculum. And then as your journey shifted towards child-directed, your environment became about the kids, and mm-hmm. you became about the kids.
Yep, exactly. It became about them and their needs. Another part of, I guess, to go deeper into the environment and some things, this is kind of like the outer shell of those ideas I was talking about. So along with the open space and the time, I don't think I even talked about the time, but along with the open space and the feeling of movement and the feeling of comfort, things like natural light, living things, those things I feel like bring life to kind of like before that fresh air. I think you need to feel good and feel upbeat in an environment to really like let go and be comfortable and feel at home. I've seen children who came to us from typical preschool programs who came in, and we've talked about this before, came in kind of uptight, kind of overly scheduled, overly controlled, and just kind of felt like they were stiff. And after spending some time in an environment where they have more and more control and they have that movement and they get flexible, like I'm envisioning a child like stretching out and getting flexible, they change as a person. It's just amazing how a playable space can really change a child. And it's not really changing them. It's allowing them to be who they really are, who they've been all along.
Yes.
Within the space, other than natural light and lots of open spaces, I think it's also important to have cozy spaces, because sometimes play is not big. Sometimes play is in a small, teeny cabinet, which every center I've had since I opened my own have had a cabinet. And here's a change that happened. First, the cabinet was full of materials. And then we realized, hey, the kids keep taking the materials out every single day, and they get inside. So eventually it turned into, okay, this cabinet is not here for materials. This cabinet is here because this is the cool place for them to play. So right now we have a cabinet in our classroom, kind of right when you walk in the door, little corner cabinet, and it's one of the favorite places to play. Two children, sometimes three children get in there, and they set up these little small world scenarios, or they're playing with their baby dolls in there, or it's a place to go hide when they're playing hide and go seek. So I think little spaces like that in the classroom, probably maybe two or three different little spaces for two kids, sometimes one child, sometimes three children to just go to. Sometimes they go there when they're feeling sad, but a lot of times it's a play space. So I think that lends to the coziness, those little places for them. And that's what I like most about the new facility. When I first went there, it used to be a furniture place, and they had mm-hmm. furniture, like it was like a furniture storage place at this point. They had furniture all the way up to the ceiling. And I'm the weird lady who walks into a place that's cluttered with stuff and goes, oh, this feels really cozy. So not that I'm promoting filling your space up to the top, but I just felt like it had so many nooks and crannies and, like, different, you know, ways to turn and little spots to hide in. And I remember that as a child, having little hiding spaces or little places to go and play and whisper with a friend. So I think that's important for playability because, like I said, all play is not big.
Yeah.
I think your materials in a space where children are playing is important. If they can move things, I think everything, or if not everything, but almost everything should be movable. and be allowed to go in different parts of the room. Because a lot of play with young children is about moving things, packing things up, carrying things, transforming something into something else. So having those loose parts that children can pick up and move is awesome for a playable classroom.
Yes.
When I said the word transforming, it reminded me of how important it is to provide materials that can be used in dramatic play scenarios. So those same movable loose parts will be, I'm not even going to say allow for it, because if you have them there and the time is there, the children will use them. We have these plastics, like real things, and they're everything from cars to wheelchairs they use them as. They put them all together and make trains. They're tables when they turn them the opposite way. I mean, they're able to transform the materials and at the same time transform themselves, because they're pretending to be different things based on what the material is. So dress up clothes and space to explore. And really, I remember the day when a child who was wearing dress up clothes was not allowed to leave dramatic play. They had to stay there.
Oh,
I don't know why. And it was people like Bev Boss, and I knew Bev Boss's work from before I even started teaching. But once I got dumped into a typical classroom setting, you know, that's not what you saw. That's not what was happening. Mm-hmm. So you kind of learned what you lived. And then I reintroduced myself to Bev. And it was like, okay, that's not right. Like, that feels more right. That's more me. That's kind of my personality. That's how I grew up. So I shifted my mind to, I want to provide a place that mimics how I grew up. So, not necessarily.
So they can come to the school in costume.
Oh,
in the morning.
Yes. Oh, you know what? Probably on any given day, 40% of my kids come in costume. They come in costumes. They come in PJs. We have Batman. He often comes in full on Batman. We had Elsa today. Yeah. And you know what? I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that they can come to school in their pajamas. I love that they can dress themselves and wear all mismatched clothes. I love that they come with Discovery painted clothes on. Because I do. I just love it. And I love that they have that freedom. And honestly, I don't see why they can't do that as they get older. I don't see why that has to stop. What difference does it make?
Yeah. It's really important for that playability, because the fact that they feel comfortable as well, like not even thinking about it, just saying, we're going to go to school, versus your other child who had come back from the alumni program, she would probably have a very different reaction if she was wearing clothes in the morning and then was like, oh, time to go to school. Mm-hmm. Her first thought wouldn't be, okay, let's go. It would be, oh, better change.
Hey, this is Jeff, still editing podcasts in a rainstorm. Sorry for the background noise. Keisha and Barb will be back next week with the rest of this episode. Tune in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for loving the show. Bye-bye.
This has been the Dirty Playologist. Back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.